draw nigh to God. I know people argue about this, but if you're lost, you can come to the altar and get saved. I mean, that's drawing. And he said, if you'll draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. And no matter how messed up you've been, it said he giveth more grace over there in James chapter 4. Right after that, it says he giveth more grace. And maybe you've been out in the world and just need to get close to him. Listen, he wants to be close to you. He wants to be. If you say, well, I want to be close to the Lord, but he don't want me. Oh, he still wants you, friend. He still wants you. We got talking about that this morning, man. The Lord sat down in that class and I started crying, thinking about how good God is, how merciful and kind he is, and how much he wants to fellowship with us. Man, I'm telling you, man, God's good. I know what we're going to sing, honey. Let's sing something. Let's do that song. Let's see. Glad one day when I was lost, the Lord came by my way. Every now and then, an old friend of mine that I've not seen for some time stops by the house and they'll ask me, where you been? What's on your mind? They wonder why I'm not still out drinking, still painting the old town red. I tell them I'm serving Jesus now, and the old man is dead. And the man you see before you, they look a lot the same. I may wear some of the same clothes, I've got the same old name. Just looking on the outside. Oh, if you could see inside instead, then you would find a brand new man. 'Cause the old man is dead. Boy, it's different now, ain't it? Used to live such a wicked life, I had no hope inside. That's the truth. I was so lost out in darkness, just trying to find a little light. Oh, but thank God. Been one night at a little church, after hearing what the preacher said, I just gave it all to Jesus Christ. And the old man is dead. The same. I may even wear some of the same clothes. I've got the same old name, but you're just looking on the outside. You could see inside. Then you would find a brand new man. 'Cause the old man is
old man is dead. You're just looking on the outside. If you could see inside instead, then you would find a brand new man. 'Cause the old man is dead.
Amen. 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 Joe, that say amen. Amen. Well, I tell you what, that's good, good stuff right there. Well, amen. Get this Sunday over with. Maybe everybody be back next Sunday. You be here for Sunday school next Sunday morning. The Sunday after camp is usually a really, really, really big service. And so don't miss next Sunday morning. Whatever you do, don't miss next Sunday morning. It always is good. And y'all pray for us. All y'all that are not going to camp, please pray. Pray for me. I'm the camp director, I guess you'd call it. And I've got a lot of, I'll do the schedule, and we plan skits, and we had activities. They have a zip line. They got a pool. They got a gymnasium, and we play basketball at night and have a good time in fellowship. And then we preach every day and every night, and it's a good time. It's a good time. And actually, I want to talk to you about it for a minute, about how young people need what we're doing this week. Open your Bible, please, to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. I also want to mention two or three things right quick. They've had me mention two or three things. Remember Brother Ray Martin, he's still having a very, very rough time. Continue to pray for him. And also, our trip to Virginia is the 25th, I believe, 24th, 25th, or somewhere along, just about 3 weeks. And if you want to go, we're going to have a sign-up sheet here ready next Sunday. Also, the ladies told me that they're planning a shower for Miss Kelly. That's what they've been calling her, Miss Kelly. 2 weeks from today, on the 19th. So don't forget that, ladies. That's what I mean. I don't need nothing. Prayer. I'm like the guy that said, everybody's asking me, how's it going, Brother Danny? How's it going, Brother Danny? I said, great, great. The Lord's been good. People's been good. And I'm like the guy that fell off a 100-story building. You know, they were falling down through there. They were having a great time. Somebody stuck her head out about 50 floors saying, how's it going? He said, so far, so good. But anyway, it's going great. And I thank you for that. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 1. Ecclesiastes 12, 1. The Bible says, remember now, look at it, young people especially, thy Creator, that's God, in the days of thy youth. Do not wait till you get old. Get God while you're young. While the evil days come not, that's when you're sick and in the hospital and rest home, on dope and can't pray. Nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. The day's going to come when your life is not going to be pleasurable. So you better seek God now while you're young and healthy and smart and able to do something with your life. While you've got, don't wait and give God the leftovers. Give God your life now while you're young. I believe in my heart, from my experience, that youth camp is the best thing possible that you can do for a young person. Back there tonight at the sound booth, Andy has got the copy of the big revival we had in Marion in 1994. That's one of the best services, if not the best service I've ever been in my life. He's got it on video back there. He's making copies of it. Any family who wants to take that and watch it. Now, it was in 1994, 20 years ago, July the 18th. So all of us look funnier. Funny, I got there. Everybody's hair's different. Everybody's, some people you'll like, but you got to look past that and get a blessing. If you want a copy of it, he'll have you one ready back there after service. I'd recommend you watch. That was one of the greatest services I've ever been in my life. I'd planned on doing a slide presentation, and the Lord got in. Carrie was singing that song, He Is Mine. And we sung the second verse twice. And if you'll notice, the second time we sang that second verse, something changed in that service. The whole atmosphere just, God moved in. And then they sung for a little bit, and Reggie Sadler and them got up, and the Lord tore that place apart. There was kids shouting that high, just bawling their eyes out. I don't know how many got saved. We went to about 9:30 that night, never did get to preach. And from that day to this, some of them people's lives have never been the same. Some of them's here tonight. Several of them's here tonight. 10 or 15 is here tonight that was in that service that night. And if you wasn't in it, the next best thing is watch it on that video. The quality's not good, but it's there. And I would like to remind you that praying and fasting is what got that done, what caused God to move. I got a text from a boy last night, the little guy over in Tennessee who puts all my sermons on YouTube, and he said he fasted Thursday and he fasted yesterday for our youth camp. How long have you fasted, parents? Have you fasted at all or prayed? He fasted 2 days this week, don't even go to our church, and don't come to our camp. So let's pray and fast this week. I want to say four things just really, really quick that's good for a kid, and what camp does for a kid, and I'll be done. It's going to be really quick, so listen. Number one, it gets kids away from the world for a few days. TV, internet. As I mentioned this morning, if they take a cell phone, you know, the mom will get mad if you don't let them take it nowadays and threaten to sue you and everything else. But we are all we can to keep them off the phone. There's no TV. There's no newspaper. There's nothing. And it's really, really good. TV has way more influence on us than what we realize. I usually leave my TV off for a month before the youth rally, 30 days, and then when I turn it back on, you think, good night, it's got worse. It really ain't got worse. You just think it's not used to how bad it really is. Commercials. Every movie on TV is teaching something. It's teaching a doctrine. It's pushing an agenda. It's pushing a way of thinking, a philosophy, if you will. Every movie on TV, every sitcom, and every little Night Daily show is pushing a form of belief. It really is. The View, Dr. Phil, all them people like that, they're pushing a certain way of thinking. And 99% of it is not Bible thinking. I'm telling you, get over there at camp, and I mean it's church and Bible Monday night, church and Bible Tuesday morning, church and Bible Tuesday night, church and Bible Wednesday morning, church and Bible Wednesday night, church and Bible. About Thursday, it begins to sink in. And boy, the young people just start thinking, Lord, in mercy. They say, now the world says, oh, that's a brainwashing stuff. Yeah, it's like cheerleading camp. That's what you're doing at cheerleading camp. It's like football camp where they get them out there and hit them hard. Yeah, okay, don't talk to us about brainwashing. Amen. Don't talk to us about brainwashing. We don't do them 5 days a week, half of the school year, like they do out there in the world. So please don't start on that old junk about brainwashing. I'll preach on it for a while if you mess with me. I'm telling you tonight, they're not being brainwashed. They're being bloodwashed. And there's a big difference. The Bible said we have our minds, renewing our minds. Brother, that's what, listen, it ain't going to hurt them kids to get out there and hear the Bible 4 and 5 days. That's what we all need. We all need our minds renewed and the washing of the water by the Word of God. There ain't nothing in the world to help you think right like hearing good old-fashioned Bible preaching for 3 or 4 days. I'm glad, brother, I've been to youth camp. Somebody said, well, I'm too old. I'm 25. Now listen, brother, I'm 27. I go every year. That's right. I'm planning on going till I'm 30. I'm telling you what, I wouldn't miss it for nothing. You know why? I need it. I like it. I enjoy it. I like to get out there and get the Lord all our attention and getting the Word of God. I like hearing all them preachers preach. I told them, I said, now y'all come, bring your guns, bring them loaded, your spiritual guns. And they said, we're ready, but we'll have some preaching. We have Brother Brandon, he always brings a message. Scott, Brother Ricky that I mentioned, he's an old-fashioned hacking Mountain Baptist preacher. I mean, he'll do some preaching. There's just something about getting away from the world and hearing the Word of God preached. It starts sinking in. It starts getting down in your crawl, brother, as they say. It's helped the young people to get away from the world for a few days. The world will influence you. It'll influence the way you think. It definitely influences the way you dress. It definitely influences the way you talk, the attitude you have toward your parents, the attitude you have right in the house of God, the attitude you have at school toward your mom and daddy, toward your school teacher, toward your principal. The world affects that. And good old-fashioned youth camp will help you walk circumspectly and right and live right when you get away from this world for a few days. Number two, it's good to get away from your friends. Amen. With friends like some of you kids got, you don't need enemies. I'm telling you something, brother. If you got friends that want me to, or want you to party and go do stuff that you know is wrong, you don't need no enemies if that's your friend. Everybody, hey, some of you young people need to get away from them friends that you hang around with.
Right.
I can show you your future if you show me your friends. Whoever you hang around, that's who you're going to be like.
Right.
I'm telling you, whoever you mess around with during the day, that's who you're going to be like. The crowd you get with at school will be exactly what you are in a very short time. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. I was thinking today when I was getting ready to come to church tonight, back in my own life, I want all of our adults here tonight, go back in your life to when you was a teenager. Now, some got in more sin than others, and I quit playing music and started playing basketball all the time just in the nick of time. I was about 14 and I was playing both, and the I was at basketball practice over in the gym in Nebo, and the boys that was in my band, they was 17 and 18, and they had done got wild out in the sin. They came in the gym up there one day at Nebo, and they said, Danny, come here, we're having band practice. And the coach looked at me, and I looked at the coach, and he said, you're going to have to make up your mind if you're going to play ball or play music. I said, I'm playing ball. And I stuck with it. Now, I got in some trouble playing basketball, but not near as much as I'd have been if I'd have stayed with that crowd.
Right.
And I quit the band, and they went on. I don't know whatever happened to them. I have no idea. I know one or two of them is really messed their life up. But I'll never forget when I was 14, 15, 16, I played ball all the time. Mom preached to me all the time. And I didn't get to go to youth camp. I didn't know there was such a thing as youth camp. I thought church was a bunch of old, gray-headed people that was boring, and nothing was different. I didn't know you could enjoy church. I didn't know you could actually have fun at church. I didn't know that. The devil keeps that hid from young people. The devil keeps that. Some of you were growing up, you didn't realize how much fun church can be when it's right. And I didn't know. I never got drunk. I never touched drugs in my life. I did touch alcohol. I was offered alcohol, I think, 3 times before I got saved. And listen to me, young people. I was out, this boy, he was older than me, and he took me over to the south side of Lake James, near where Todd and Carrie's house is. And we rode around through there, and he was talking to me, and he pulled out a bottle of Boone's Farm wine. Back when everybody, I don't know if you know they still drink that now, but it's Boone's Farm. Y'all remember that? And he said, Danny, this right here is good stuff. And I remember I was sitting there, I thought, uh-oh, I don't want this. I'd seen my daddy drunk. I'd seen daddy passed out, and I made up my mind I wasn't going to do that. I ain't going down that road. I ain't the smartest person in the world. But I said, I don't want that. And these people that say, if your daddy drinks, you'll drink, that ain't true. You don't have to. You don't have to follow that same curse that daddy had and grandpa had and great-grandpa had. You live right. You serve God. And brother, he handed that bottle to me and said, taste it. And I put that bottle in my lips, and I put it up there like that, and I did taste it with my tongue, and I handed it back to him. I said, I don't really care for that, and I was scared not to. Now, if he handed it to me now, I'd say, yeah, let me have that thing. but back then, I was a chicken, like some of you young people, and I was a scaredy cat, like they say, and I didn't do it. Another time, my uncle had a beer, and he put salt in his beer. Have you ever seen him put salt in the beer? Why in the world they do that for? I have no idea. Is that what you put in yours, Jim?
No, I don't fool with
beer. You just drink it straight.
My uncle used to do that. He says it kills the taste somewhere
or another. Well, it kills the taste. What's he using to drink?
Well, that's what I asked him.
Anyway, he put salt on top of that beer. And he handed it to me and said, here, take a sip of this, Danny. And I thought, shoo. Lord, it looked like you'd saw the watermelon. You know, the salt was wet. And so I went like that and I put it to my lips and I could feel that salt on my lips. And I thought, child, who in the world would drink something like that? Are you crazy? I handed it back to him and that was about the extent of my alcohol. Thank God. Thank God. I don't know what it's like to be drunk. Don't want to know. A man said one time, his preacher, he said, you ain't never been drunk? And a man said, preacher said, no. He said, well, don't knock it till you try it, preacher. Don't knock it if you ain't never tried it. He said, have you ever laid your head down in front of an 18-wheeler truck? He said, you crazy? No, don't knock it till you try it. You don't know it'll hurt you if you ain't never tried it. And you see how stupid that reasoning is?
Yeah.
I said, no way, I don't want it. And you young people here tonight, hey, all you teenagers over here tonight, all y'all scattered back there, y'all girls over there, make up your mind right now. I ain't going to touch it. I ain't going to drink it. I'm not going to be a once in a while drinker. I'm not going to be a weekend drinker. I am a teetotaler. No alcohol. None. Zero. You'll be a lot better off, live a lot longer, live a lot happier, and God will bless you if you'll leave that stuff alone.
Amen.
Nail it down tonight. Don't be as sorry as I was. I didn't touch my lips. That's a big mistake. I was offered pot, marijuana, twice. Now these kids see it all the time. I was 18 and I got saved, was offered it twice. A boy I used to shoot basketball with, he'd come in the gym every day, and this is bad, but I'd shoot him for his lunch money. I had lunch money, he had lunch money. He said, oh, come here, Castle, I'll shoot you. And I beat him every day. I don't know why he wanted to keep doing that. I beat that boy every day. Next day, come in, I'll beat you today. I could about blindfold about beat him. He wasn't more than who. I'll beat you today, okay? Come on, I'll take you 50 cents. His 50 cents was his lunch money. And he took me out over on the backside of Nebo somewhere near the lake club or down toward the Moose Lodge or somewhere over there. We went down in here and he reached under the seat and pulled something out. This is what happened to y'all. If it ain't already, it's going to. Somebody is going to take you out and they're going to reach under the seat and they're going to pull. And you parents are crazy if you think it ain't going to happen to your kid or ain't already happened. It's going to. Especially if they're around that crowd at school. And he pulled it out in the seat and he said, you want some of this? I said, no, I don't think so. And I was a little older than him, so I wasn't scared of him. And he lit one up and started smoking it there in the car. And I sat there and looked out the window and thinking, I don't really know what that is, but I know it ain't for me.
Yeah.
And I wasn't saved. I was about 17. Then I went to church and got saved. And I started thinking back. I remember on the school bus when I was about third or fourth grade, boys cussing. And I remember them saying four-letter words, and I didn't even know what some of them words meant, but I knew they wasn't right. And then I remember the first time, or one of the first times, that I cursed and took God's name in vain. I went home with a boy from school. Another note, parent. Make sure you know who your kids is going home with. He was a good little kid, my mama thought. We went to his house. They cussed. All the other neighborhood kids come over. They're saying, blankety blank this, blankety blank that. And I thought, well, I can say that. And I said, blankety blank. And the first time I said it, I felt terrible. And then every time I said it, it felt a little less worse and a little less worse and a little less worse. You get your conscience hard. You sear your conscience after a while. And I cussed till I got saved. And I'm telling you what, I'll never forget the first time, the very first time I saw a dirty picture was at my friend's house. And I was probably 15 years old. His daddy kept dirty books under the mattress or something. He pulled them out. I'd never seen nothing like that in my life. It scared me to death. I said, Lord, have mercy. And listen, your kids see that on their telephones nowadays. And don't you dare see so naive as to think my kid would never. They're all curious. They all have a curiosity. Here's what the devil will tell them. Well, you're not really going to do nothing like that, but you just want to know what's going on out there. They see 1,000 times worse than what I see, and that defiled me, brother, when I was 15, 14 years old. Let's just be honest here tonight, okay? You better keep that internet away. You better fix it to where don't trust them. You say, well, I trust my child so they give me a reason not to. That's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard anybody say. They're made out of flesh. They'll turn up on drugs. They'll get pregnant. They'll get in trouble somehow if you ain't real, real careful. You know what'll help them? Camp. Camp. I'm a firm believer that they ought to get saved when they're 7 or 8 years old and then get another good hit from God when they're 12 or 13. And then get another good hit in revival when they're about 18 or 19.
Amen.
And then get into their 20s and then marry the right person and stay straight. That's the best thing for a kid. Y'all realize, you parents do realize, it ain't like it was when you was coming up. You realize that? You didn't even have internet on phones till the last few years. They got the whole world right in their hand. Everything about it. You can look up Chinese people cutting frogs' heads off. There'll be 15 pages of it on there. I never thought of that in my life. I don't care. You name it, brother. It's on there. Don't, please don't be looking at that. I see several of you looking at your phones right now. I'll preach on that next Sunday morning. Bless God, I'll do a video presentation on Chinese people cutting frogs' heads off and eating them. Get them away from their friends. Number three, it'll help them to get serious with God. I'm going to die. You're going to die. We better get serious about what's really important. You know what we do at camp? Make them read the Bible every morning. You say, they should have a choice. Nah, make them read the Bible every morning. If they can't read, read it to them. Read it to them. Read it to them at night. We have devotions every night. Everybody's got to be at devotions. Whoever the counselors are, ladies with girls, men with the boys, take the Bible, teach it. I tell them, y'all remember Greg Flowers? How many of y'all remember Greg Flowers from up in Marion? Old Greg, he was an unusual sort of a fella. And old Greg, he's called preaching. I don't know if he's still preaching or not. But old Greg, he used to preach all the time out there. And he used to tickle me to death. We had a bunch of little old boys at camp. And I mean, there was about that high. 5, 6, 7-year-old boys. And Greg said, I want to be a counselor. And I said, okay, you help so-and-so and you can be the counselor. So they had preaching or somebody different do the devotions every night at camp. And these little old boys, they was about 5 and 6 years old. And they was in there, you know how tired they get when they're that age. They're sunburnt and their fishing pole laying here in tennis shoes and their underwear and everything soaking wet. And they was like this. At 9:30, they was like that, all of them going to sleep. And they was having devotions. There's about 20 of them in this little bitty room, about as big as this right here. And they said, now, Greg, you give them boys a devotion. And old Greg, he was a preacher. Old Greg, he preached. Yeah. Remember, Lori, when he preached that revival up here? The Lord laid on his heart. He preached revival up here at one of these stores. Said, Lord, every evening. And Lorraine, bless her heart, she got out there and took a chair and listened to him every day. And that might have been when she got saved. I don't know. I'm just kidding. But I preached. I've never forgot her doing that. She supported him. And old Greg got them guys in there. Here's these little old toe heads about that tall. And they're in there like this. You know, they're like, they can't even hold their eyes open. Old Greg got up there and he said, I don't care if you've been a drunk. You might have been a drunk all your life. And I mean, he was blasting their heads off. He preached the devil out of them little old boys. He preached on drinking, smoking pot, everything in the world. They just, they didn't even know what he was saying. But you know what? That word's getting inside them.
Amen.
The last thing they hear when they go to sleep at night should not be Eminem. Amen, parents. The last thing they hear at night should not be Molly Cyrus. Shouldn't be Molly. It ought to be Jesus and something about God. Get serious about God. You know what? A lot of young people don't get serious about God until they get it at camp. And then they stay serious. We got proof of that here tonight. I remember, if you'll notice on that tape, CD back there, DVD, if you get it, about an hour and a half into the service, I got up and I realized what God had done. At first, I didn't realize what was happening. And after it went on about the hour, usually you don't realize when a real revival hits until it's after it's over and you look back. And we didn't realize what was going on while it was happening. But God was changing people's lives. And I remember I got up and I said, make the break, y'all, make the break. And I just started flooding in the altar. And that's the night that New Manna Christian School started. It started that night. I knew in my heart right then we're going to start school. That night. and thousands of people have been helped still to this day because of what God did that night. That's why I always tell you, God can do more in 30 minutes than we can do in a lifetime of preaching and counseling and rehab and everything else. Last thing I'll say and I'm done. You know what's good about camp? You can come back with a desire and a determination to do right. I know, I've heard people say, oh, them kids get fired up every year. They don't like, well, listen, if they live right 3 months and then have to meet again, that's better than most people do. Amen? A bath don't last, but you take another one, don't you? What if you said, I took a bath the other day and it didn't last? I ain't never going to, hey, it don't do. Well, of course it don't. You're in the world. You get dirty. That's where revival is. That's where camp is. That's why we go every year. That's why the song says, revive us again and again and again. You have to keep getting clean because the world gets on you.
Amen.
I think when you come back to camp, sometimes you're so fired up, you'll take your Bible to school. A public school. Public school. I think you grab your handful of tracts. We had a bunch of them. Y'all remember that time? That was the weirdest thing. It was right after that night. We had that big service on Thursday. Came back and had another big one on Friday. We got it on video too. And then Saturday night's when they had a wreck, ain't it, Carrie? There's about 15 of them went out to give out tracts in Hickory on Saturday night and come down Interstate 40 and had a wreck and like to kill two or three of them. You know, something like that always happens. And you think, as soon as they got right with God, why'd that happen? I don't know, but it does happen a lot. As soon as you get right with God, something terrible will happen a lot of times. And they come into my house, had stitches up through their lips and their eyes cut up and everything else. Some of them still scarred to this day. Old Shaw up there in Virginia, you know, and Gary and a bunch of them was cut all to pieces. And they was all sitting around in my house, couldn't even move like that right there. And we was singing, having prayer meeting, and the Lord moved. And there's still, a lot of them still serving God today. When you come back from camp, you can come back with a determination. You know what? All it takes is one or two kids saying, I'm going to do right if nobody else does or not. That's what I did. I took my stand. I took my stand. You want to be accepted so bad, you want everybody to like you so bad, you just sort of do stuff because your friends do it, or you dress a certain way, you act a certain way. Listen, man, take your stand. That's what God's looking for. A young person that will take a stand and say, I'll dare to be different in a world of compromise. Amen? God will bless you. That's what I love about camp. If you're not going, let me ask you a favor. Pray for us every day. Pray for me. Pray for the preachers. Pray for our safety. Pray for that bus that it'll make it there and back. Pray for the, you know, when we get there and it's real hot and there's never enough beds at first. Everybody gets mad and they're flesh and everything else. Pray that the Lord will work it out and it'll be smooth. God will bless you. Let's stand. Let's stand tonight. Miss Dessie, come on. Y'all come on. God's speaking to your heart tonight as a young person.